Blog Talk Radio.
Let's Talk Truth is designed to shine a light on that part of us that's hidden deep within us, and it stunts our growth. Truth is only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Otherwise, it's merely our opinion, our opinion, our opinion.
You really wanna talk, then let's talk truth. Hey. Any situation that you face can be talked through. No problem too big, there's no problem too small at all. Trying to maintain to keep from smashing through a wall. Heavy load up on your shoulders, trying hard not to fall. Situation after situation, throwing curveballs. Got you worried about your job, a word about your kids, a word about the things people said or what they did. Your husband ain't doing right, or maybe it's your wife, 'cause they let the devil step in and creep up in your life. Hey, L-O-I-C-E, come and help us out, please, 'cause we all in desperate need and need to learn to plant our seeds. We gotta grow as a people, 'cause wisdom and knowledge is equal, and all we need to learn to do is spread our wings like eagles. Now, let's talk truth, let's talk truth, let's talk truth. Lord, sit down to talk truth, but the rest is on you.
Let's talk truth, let's talk truth.
Another tantalizing episode of Let's Talk Truth, where tonight our wonderful host, Lois Bullock, and her fellow guests will explore the topic, Alternative Schools Help or Hinder Our Kids. This is something that stands, you know, strong within America today, the success or demise of our youth. And tonight we're going to explore one of the avenues that could either, again, like the title says, help or hinder our children. So let's all welcome Lois Bullock.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Thank you very much. I want to just say welcome to everyone who's a guest in the studio and the ones who are on, who dialed in. And my special guest is Kay DeWitt. She is a very successful, prominent lady from Charlotte, North Carolina. We've met. We have the same interest. She's an advocate for justice for our children. She has a master's degree in psychology. She plays several instruments, so she has a lot of things to offer to our young people, and she really takes our children to heart. So she's going to be my special guest tonight. We're going to discuss alternative schools. Are they helping or hindering our kids? You would think that anything that's put in place should be put in place just to help our kids. But are these alternative schools really helping or hindering our kids? And also, there are several other people on the line. I want you to know you can step in anytime. Give us your name. You can talk. You can say whatever is in your heart to say. And as I say at the top of every show, we're not here to preach to you, but our show is called Let's Talk Truth. So if we're going to arrive at the truth, God has to be in the midst of it. So with that in mind, I'm going to welcome our guest, our host, and Kay, are you on the line?
Yes, Lois, I am.
Okay. Why don't you start us out in whatever way you feel necessary of being led by the Lord. We're talking about our alternative schools. Are they actually helping or hindering our kids? And first of all, explain to our audience, what are alternative schools? Alternative to what?
Lois, I was only familiar with our alternative school here called Turning Point. All I knew about that school is that when our at-risk kids fought and were suspended they were sent there. I knew nothing else about that school until I followed Felix there. Now, maybe a lot of the listeners did not listen to last week's show where I talked about three children, Jay, Mingo, and Felix. And so I am going to tell my story just as it happened with this alternative school, and I can answer that question as to whether or not it is hindering or helping our children. My story with Felix, and I'll do just a short repeat of what I said last week, began with a man that I grew to love. And I'm not going to name names when I talk about the alternative school, but his name is Mr. Glenn. And, you know, I listened to last week's show, and it grieved me when I heard myself saying, good old Mr. Glenn. I have to explain, that was not a negative. Mr. Glenn loved these. He's like a big teddy bear. He really didn't want to be a security person, because what he really wanted to do was teach basketball. So the kids know when, you know, when you intimidate them. So he was just like a fish out of water. Thank God he got a position as a basketball teacher. When he played basketball with the kids loved him. So what I just simply meant by that remark is, no matter how many times he would say, that kid won't give you 1 minute or 5 minutes, he saw that they would, and that he still said. That's all I meant is, you know, good old Mr. Glenn saying the same thing, but I say it with a heart of love. That man was my friend. And when I told him how I felt so alone and isolated in what I'm doing because I have no family, he said, I'll be your family. I just want to clarify that I meant nothing negative by that. So my story begins with my dear friend, Mr. Glenn. I'm walking into Westmeck High School, which is the school that I was reaching out to for these last couple of years. And I said, oh, hi, Mr. Glenn, how you doing? He said, oh, having a bad day. And I said, why? He said, well, there's this kid, and he won't talk to me. As a matter of fact, he ran away from me. I said, well, I want to talk to that kid. He said, that kid won't give you 1 minute. I walked into the cafeteria, and the teachers were talking about this same kid, that they were afraid of him. He's a ninth grader on house arrest. And the one teacher said, yeah, he's falling down this deep, deep, dark hole, and we have to do something to help him. And I said, I want to talk to that kid. So when he came in, they pointed him out, and he sat down with me. And what I said last week is, that kid not only gave me 1 minute, he gave me 45. Why? I don't know why. Other than I can, as I said last week, can express that I really care about them. Now, when he sat down with me, I always start, you know, Felix, I want to talk to you because I really care about you. And within, I don't know, 5 minutes, another staff member walked by and said, you got to help that kid. He's a really angry kid. So I said, Felix, are you angry? And he said, yes. I said, do you know why? He said, no. And I said, well, do you have a caring mom? He said, oh, yes. And what about a caring father? He said, no. And I said, well, do you think that's the source of your anger? And he said, yes. So many of these kids who join gangs are in trouble is because there's no present father. He never knew his father. Okay. So all I can tell you is I addressed it. I emphasize I'm talking to you because I care about you. I want to show you there are other alternatives to dealing with your anger. He was riveted on me. He didn't even touch his meal. When the bell rang, now it's a 30-minute lunch period, a teacher came by, and this is one of my frustrations, and said, come on, Felix, got to go to class. Now, mind you, the child is skipping all the time because he's not motivated, and I just looked at that teacher and said, no, I will write him a pass. In other words, can't you see? He's engaged. This is more important than him going to class, okay? From that day forward, same kind of story as with my other kids. This child, when he walked into the cafeteria, would throw his arms around me, very often sit with me, and one more time, because I want him, I said, Felix, will you read Run, Baby, Run? And he said, okay. Prior to that, when Mr. Glenn had seen, and this isn't about me, it really isn't, saw how the way the kids were relating to me, he said, I could cry. Well, when the female dean of students, who is a very loving, loving woman, Sarah Dockett, when she saw that Felix was sitting with me, because now, mind you, this kid didn't talk to anyone. She said, I could just cry, okay? So they saw that this child was responding to me. That was a step forward. And reading this book, Run, Baby, Run, now I had an unexpected bout of pseudo-gout. I never had gout in my life. And I asked them to, because I knew the day that I went in that I, when I returned home, I was going to call 911. Please do not suspend Felix. I don't care if he fights. I will be back. Well, you know, they led me to believe when I was in the hospital that he was there. They never told me he wasn't. And when I came back and learned he was suspended, my heart just broke. And so they told me he was going to Turning Point. Well, Lois, I can't drive a long distance. I couldn't drive to Turning Point. I couldn't get it. It was too far away. Okay? So what I did is I went through the courts, and, you know, God opens doors that man says are closed. It's unbelievable that this court engaged in conversation with me and told me that they would get in touch with Felix's mom and that I might have the opportunity to call him. Finally, they got a hold of her, and she said yes to my calling her. So I finally made contact with his mom, and I found her to be a very loving, caring mother, okay? Well, wouldn't you know, this was in the fall. By February, Turning Point was moved, and it was moved near my home. So now I could go to Turning Point. Now, when I called there, they said that Felix hardly ever went there, okay? And when this school was moved, there was an article written about how the teachers were pointing a finger at the Board of Education, saying that they don't care about these kids. They treat these kids as throwaway kids because, number one, that they were moving them mid-year, and number two, to a school that didn't have a gym. Well, if at-risk kids need anything, they need a gym. Okay?
So let me interject something here, right here, because
sure.
You're bringing us to a point where we really need to, and our audience needs to understand, first of all, what the society deems as an at-risk kid. Now, we're talking about our young people being successful. Mm. We know that anything successful in life has to be governed by rules. So,
yes.
Successfully educate our youth, we set some rules in place that kids must follow from the time they start pre-K up through 12th grade. Now, in order to follow rules and have a pleasant journey while they're going their educational path, they have to have the educational leaders that's determined to love these children.
Amen.
Now, let me say this. You and I have rules. Everyone that's on here listening, everyone in the studio, we have rules to follow. What happens when we disobey a rule? Because we're human. We make mistakes. Sometimes we think when we're not, but we're not shuffled off to a mini prison when
right.
we call it an alternative school.
Amen.
Let me say this. I met a young boy out in my driveway. My driveway is in the back of my house. You pull in the back and you go into the garage. There were two young boys just hanging around out there in my alleyway. So I went out, and the way I got their attention, I took a bag of trash out to my trash can. And when I walked out, I said, are you young men going to just sit there and let an old lady take her trash out? And they jumped around. No, we're going to help you. And that opened a door for me to talk to them. And I noticed they were in the attire of the alternative schools here in the state of Texas. And so I said, where do you guys go to school? And they said, well, we're in alternative school. And I asked them, alternative to what? what were you doing in at your other school that you got sent to an alternative school? And they said they were gambling. Now, let me ask you something. When we're raising our children at home, I have three biological children and a whole host of other kids that have been lived in my home and I've taken care of. But one thing that I do know, you have to feed the mind of a child.
Yes.
Now, if that child is in school, a child that goes to school spends more time at school than they do at home.
Yes.
So if you are feeding the mind of a child, how do they become at risk? That's something I don't understand. If I'm in a classroom and I can't keep my children, my students, interested in what I'm talking about, I'm dull, I'm being more of a dictator than a teacher, then they're going to lose interest in what I'm doing. And then they're going to, you know, children will be children, and they're going to fade away and start doing other things. They're going to find a way to gamble rather than go to class.
Yes.
Because you're not feeding the mind of that child.
Yes.
And I think that we have a lot to do. Everyone that's a part of this program here, what we're trying to develop, we have a lot to do to educate the educators. Now, how many, everybody know that just because you go to college and have a degree doesn't make you a good teacher?
Right.
No more than standing in my garage is going to make me a car. You know, you've got to have more than just the letter. You've got to have the love of God in your heart.
Amen.
And if you don't, that's what you need to do. And that's what you presented to that young man. He had never seen love coming from anybody. That's why he gave you those minutes where he wouldn't give them to anybody else.
Yes, Royce, and that, yes, amen. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, and that's why I keep saying, this is not about me. It is about Christ's love through me. Anybody who is a Christian can do what I do, and I'm clarifying that because it is not about me, and you are absolutely, there's no other explanation for that is the reason this kid not only wanted to talk to me, threw his arms around me. As somebody once said, if I raise my voice, it's now pouring outside, kids don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Okay? Now, this is my story with Turning Point. I will name the school. I will not name the individuals because it is not my heart motive to hurt anyone. If in the process of fighting for the lives of our kids, somebody gets hurt in the process, so be it. But my heart motive is never, ever to deliberately hurt somebody, and I want to make that clear. So this is exactly as it happened. Of course, I was thrilled. Now, learning that I could get to Turning Point, the first day it opens, I'm walking up the path, and I say verbally and vocally, I hope I get to see Felix. And if he wasn't behind me, he turned around and he threw his arms around me, okay? Now, I walked in, and I began talking to him, but he had to go to class. So now the administrative person that I began to be in a relationship with, and I will call her Mrs. X, okay? I had already given her my credentials and these poems I've mentioned, so she knew something about me. And I was telling her about Felix, my relationship with Felix, and I asked her if I couldn't continue the conversation I was having with him earlier during lunch. And the cafeteria said, no, you got to get your name on the application, but I can call him out of class. And she did that. And she stood there and witnessed how he was responding to me, you know.
Uh-huh.
And at one point, she said, let's walk Miss K down to her car. Fine. She saw him throw his arms around me, and she said, now remember, Felix, you don't want Miss K to cry over you like she cries over Angelo. Okay. Now, I'm going to quickly try and explain this. I made a comment last week that Felix is so much like Angelo, it's almost frightening, all right? And I wrote a poem, I Loved You, Angelo, so that people would know this story. And I deliberately gave it to the teachers to let them know I don't want Felix's story to end like Angelo's. And the way it was the same, he was a kid 19 years ago. And the teachers just wanted him out of the school. Because why? Because his daddy was in jail and his mommy dealt drugs. I said, that's just the kind of kid I want to reach out to. To which they said, don't waste your time. Can you imagine? Well, unaffected by that. He said, besides, this kid is rude to everybody. I reached out to that child. He responded to me. He grew to love me. And the way I kept him in school is I walked arm in arm with him from classroom to classroom, because when they were going to expel him, I said, I beg you not to do that. Well, you're going to be his guardian? And I said, if I have to. And I walked with that child arm to arm. When I had foot surgery, again, just like with Felix, I said, give me a week. I will be back in a week. There was one teacher who cared about that child, and it was the computer teacher. And Angel liked getting on the computer. These teachers don't understand. When a child is in a neighborhood surrounded by drug dealing, no family support, they could care less whether 2 plus 2 equals 4 or 104. Even then, I knew I was fighting for this child's life. Now, I believe, they led me to believe that they were going to go for this, because I didn't worry about Felix, about Angelo. When I came back, they had suspended him. It's a long, long story how I got in touch with his mother, and they put him into another school, and Angelo started going to that school. I was on my way to New York, and it's a long, long story, but they threw him out, and I made contact with him years later. He had been shot already, but he was in a halfway house. It goes on and on and on and on, all right? Then I lost contact with him because there's nobody else doing this. Now, when I went over to Hawk Academy, which used to be where Angela went, I went there because of Jay, and people who didn't hear the story last week don't know it. But anyway, I saw Angelo everywhere. I saw us walking arm in arm. So I asked a police guard if he could find out about Angelo. He said, all right. He came back, and he said, well, it seems like he was indicted for murder in 2002, but he got out in 2006. So that night I said to my friend who was at that point driving me to the school, you know, of course I'm grieved over Angelo's crime, but I can't wait until I throw my arms around him and tell him I love you. The cop gave me directions on how to access his record, and I was devastated when I learned that January he had been shot to death in the very hood where my cry was. That's what I'm saying. So I let the teachers know, you suspend Felix. He's going to be right down there where Angelo died. And I am bound and determined that that's not going to be Felix's end. I made that very clear because I knew I was kind of, God forgive me, setting them up, that if they did suspend him knowing that, all right. So now, so this was on a Tuesday. Everything happens on a Tuesday. So Mrs. X said, well, you're going to have to wait until Thursday because you got to make sure your name is on that application. Fine. So on Thursday, I get there early. I'm sitting in my car just waiting for Felix to get off the bus. And Mrs. X comes to me. She says, I have bad news for you. I said, what? She said, we suspended Felix. I said, what for? He threw a crayon at a teacher, so he had to be out 5 days. Do you believe this? This is just how it happened. So I waited 5 days, and when I saw Felix, I said, Felix, why did you throw a crayon at a teacher? He didn't. That was the girl behind me. I just kind of mouthed off at him, all right? And so I walked in with him. He went to his first block class, and I asked Mrs. X, can I sit with Felix in his first law class, just like with Angelo. She said, let me ask the teacher. She went and asked the teacher. She came back and she said, his teacher said you can come one day a week, because I'm thinking, well, that's going to do a lot of good. And then I said to her, well, look, on the other days, is it all right if I sit in your cafeteria? Because this is what I did at West Mac. And you would be surprised the number of kids who confided in me that they were contemplating suicide. And I was able to talk them out of it, to show them there was another alternative to ending their pain.
And they matter. These kids, they don't think they matter.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Let me ask you and everybody that's listening on this line and here in the studio. We're adults. How do we feel when we are inundated with different negative things all every day? How do we feel? It's hard for us as grown-ups. It's hard for us to remain standing and to look up and hold our head up when we're being hit from all sides. Now, what do you think a child that's being hit from all sides, that has not been given the opportunity to be a child, that other kids laughing at them because they don't dress a certain way, they don't have the right type of shoes, and how do you think kids feel about that? It's going to make them angry. There's a young man that's in my life now. I think he's like 26, 27 years old. I met him when he was 12. And at that time, he was bigger than your normal 12-year-old. And he was so angry inside. I mean, every time you look, he was ready to fight. He was ready to fight. So I started praying, and I said, God, it has to be a way I can reach this kid. And all I heard in the spirit is, hug him.
Mm.
Now, when God speaks, he'll write you a book. In other words, he'll open your understanding to why you need to do a certain thing.
Yes.
And I realized that because of his size, people had stopped treating him like a kid. They didn't hug him anymore.
Mm.
Touching, hug, kids need to be hugged.
Amen.
And love.
Amen.
And so when he came to my house, he would come to my house every weekend. And every week not a weekend passed that he didn't come in that house. And, man, I would hug him.
Mm.
I would love him, love on him like he was a little boy. And before you know it, he would be sitting on the floor by my chair with his head in my lap.
Aw.
But that anger, you know, to feed him because he was being treated like he needed to be treated.
Amen.
I firmly believe that when a child is at risk, they're at risk because they're not following the rules. If a child does not follow rules, it's only because, and it's the only way they know how to do. If I'm accustomed to fighting, that's all I'm going to know.
Yes.
If accustomed to arguing, that's all I'm going to do because that's all I know. I can only give you what's inside of me.
That's right.
And our educators have a platform that you can put something different in that child if it has to be, if you have to meet with the parents, if you have to hold hands with the mother and the father, or the church, the men in the church and the community, go get somebody's son. That father is in jail, go get the son, hold his hand, let him know that I'm there for you.
Amen.
There is a way to reach our children. When
Amen.
We talk about alternative schools, let's give them something, an alternative to what they're accustomed to.
That's
You've
right.
got to change what they're, if I'm in prison and you put me in another prison, I'm just going to be more. So you can't put me, and you've got to bring me out of there, show me I'm human. You know,
Amen.
Give me a responsibility. Let people know that I'm loved. I need to feel loved. I need to
Amen.
Know that I'm valued. And this
Amen.
Is what we're doing. I've done so much research, Kay, on our young people, and I find that we've got some grown-ups in our government, local government, federal government. Everybody thinks they know what's best for a child, and they've never, ever sat down and listened to any of these kids express themselves. Never sit down, because they just feel like you don't have nothing to say. You need to just get over there and sit down. Let me handcuff you. Let me do. And we're treating our children like animals.
That's right.
And it's just like, you know, something else that hurts our children. I don't know about any of the other states, but I know here in the state of Texas, they have something that's called standardized testing. In other words, in 1965, I believe President Johnson put something to the effect that he wanted to give our poor, poverty-stricken children a chance at an education. I don't know why people think if you don't have money, you're stupid.
Yeah.
Or if you don't have money, you can't learn. So he put something into effect that's supposed to help our children. And then another president, President Clinton, came on, and he was going to do something better with it before he changed it to for something else. Has it changed our children? No.
No.
You're merely putting ink on paper.
Yes.
Then we have another president, President Bush. He came in with the No Child Left Behind. We're not going to leave a child behind. How many believe that has happened? It's been more kids dead and dying since that was put into effect, because it's just rhetoric, and it's just designed to impress the minds of the people, but it's never implemented to benefit our youth.
That's
in
right.
Any
amen.
School system.
Amen.
If No Child Left Behind, we should have the same tenacious attitude that the Marine Corps has.
That's
the Marine
right,
Corps says no man left behind. And this is how we need to think about our children. No child left behind, and stop putting them in the gutter and leaving them and letting them lay there, because they don't know how to crawl out.
Amen.
And we don't have all of our teachers aren't bad, but they have to walk like, you know, so that they can keep their jobs. I called one of our local school systems today, and I asked them, I said, can you give me a percentage of the school year 2016-2017, how many children in this particular area went to an alternative school? Oh, we don't have that information right here in front of me. I said, well, can you get it for me? I said, I'm trying to do a statistical thing, and I want to be accurate. I don't want to lie on my paper. And no, and then I'd have to get permission from the deputy superintendent in order to let that information. Well, if I have some things about my life that's public record, why shouldn't that be public record? And so I don't understand that. Now, I asked again, I said, well, can you tell me this? What percentage of the children that went to alternative schools go back to their schools and graduate? I don't have that in front of me either. I don't know that. And so another thing, I said, kids who have gone to school for 12 years, they have a test that they take when they're seniors. They don't pass that test. They don't walk across that stage. They don't get that. Well, they don't get to wear that cap and gown. And I said, what is it for a child to attend 12 years of school and not have the privilege of walking across the stage and don't graduate? How does a young person feel that is denied his one day of attention and fame? That's one day. Now, to be a part of something that society has deemed to be the beginning of one of the greatest accomplishments in your youth, and you've been denied that. Now, if a test is what's needed, why don't we just keep our kids at home for 12 years and teach them, then give them the test? You know, not only, and they're talking about, you know, the hurricane, we need to putting money aside to remodel our schools, and we also need to put money aside to pay decent teachers who really love kids to teach. So it's just so much we need to work on, but we're just, everything, we're putting it on paper, and our kids are dying from it.
That's right.
And I wish I could send a message, and I hope someone listening could tell Jay and Mingo and Felix that you are loved, you are valuable, and you have a purpose. God put a purpose in you. That's
Amen.
Why you're here. And you have got to, somebody has got to stand back and let that purpose come out of you. Show you how to let it come out. Because I promise you, we weren't all, you know, what we are supposed to be. Not by a long shot.
Amen.
But nobody put us in prison for it.
Right, and that's what
and
it is.
Jay,
right.
I admire you so much for following up. You're doing follow-ups on these kids because you want to see a success story.
Yes.
You
yes.
want to see a success story. And this is what we're all looking for. This is why we won't, this is why we sit here and we talk and do things like we're doing. We want to see success stories. Okay. Go ahead, Kate. Come on back.
All right.
And
so, and this was for me, and I'll explain later on why this became such a key exchange with Mrs. X. Pontel, now, I remind you, she's told me I can only sit with Felix, according to his teacher, one day a week, which is nowhere.
Mm.
So I thought, well, you know, I can see him in the cafeteria. So now to tell her, ask her, can I sit in your cafeteria because God used me. And by the way, she told me she was a Christian. God used me to talk kids out of committing suicide. In other words, you know, kind of made up maybe a life-death difference, to which she said, quote, no, this is an alternative school. And we have a different focus. Inside, I was screaming, a different focus than saving the lives of our kids. I couldn't believe this. So now I proceed to go into Felix's classroom to see Mr. X, all right? Felix was an angel. First of all, it's a 90-minute class. I feel that's too long for a kid to pay attention. He sat there. He did his work. He didn't make a peep. One kid said something to him he didn't even know. He was an angel, but I observed how he treated the kids, okay? With such contempt, he belittled them, and I, a girl up front, take her paper, throw it at him, and said, you're no teacher. You're so unprofessional. She walked out of the class, okay? Now, I witnessed this. So class ends, and, you know, I walk a little slowly. So by that time, Mrs. X walked into the classroom to speak with Mr. X. I saw them exchanging, you know, some conversation. And so I walked up and I thanked Mr. X for allowing me to sit with Felix. And he said, well, you can come here anytime you want. Ah. And then, of course, I gave him my poems, I Loved You, Angelo, which is the story of Angelo. And so when I walked into the hall and saw Mrs. X, I said, well, we have a little differing opinion here. I mean, Mr. X told me that I could come whenever I want. She said, well, yeah, he was just so surprised how good Felix was, so you can go every day. Well, praise the Lord, okay? Okay? And so I was thrilled. He, you know, he did well. And the next day when we're walking by his second period class, the second block, the teacher says to Felix, you're really doing so much better. Okay? A couple weeks went by, and it was a Tuesday. And as I'm walking out, Mrs. X, I just want you to know, Felix is doing a lot better since you've been here. Well, praise the Lord. All right? I miss Wednesday, and I go back Thursday. And I saw he wasn't there. But, you know, he could have been sick. I didn't think a whole lot of it until I was told that he was suspended on Tuesday, which means it was only minutes after Mrs. X said that I was making a difference that they suspended this child. That they, knowing that if they did that, he was going to hang out where Angelo was shot. I was appalled. And walking out, when I asked Mrs. X, would you please tell me why Felix was suspended? I cannot tell you that. I have to tell his mother that. Well, she had no way of getting in touch with the mother. Now, let me tell you something. When I asked Mr. X, what exactly was it that Felix did that first day, he said, well, he mouthed off at me. This goes along with your story. That child never said a rude word to me, let alone a swear word. But you see, when they see that a teacher doesn't value them, this is the language they're used to. So the teacher's little ego gets offended, and they don't care whether they're throwing the children to their death. This is what I find absolutely intolerable. And the other thing I witnessed, and I am going to tell this story, is one day, you know, some of the kids from Westmac wind up there. Now, I ran into two kids. One kid was a girl who had shared her heart with me, told me how, you know, she had been a fighter because her mom was on drugs. This is, you know, your same scenario, but she had learned that fighting wasn't the answer. And she was doing real well. Well, I don't know what happened. You know, did she get herself in a fight? She wound up, and she was so upset. And I said, is this helping you at all? Not at all. I asked each kid, are they doing anything to address your anger? No. Well, I run into this kid. His name is Dennis. Miss K, you know, I still have your poems, and I read them. Well, sweetheart, that's wonderful. So one day after Felix got up and left, this kid, you sat down beside me. Now, before I tell you what I'm going to tell you, I had witnessed Mr. Y out in the hall as I was walking to the restroom. And again, I was appalled at the way he talked to these kids. Oh, such contempt. And my thought was, you need not to be here. Now, that was my reaction, okay? Mm-hmm. So now Dennis sits down beside me. I said, honey, why are you here for fighting? Oh, Dennis, honey, that's not the answer. I know you're hurt, nagging, mass pain, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, were you affected by Tim Davis's death or one of the kids who just died? Maybe it was Tyshawn. But one of the kids, he said, yes. And I said, well, you see, that's what happens when you fight. You either wind up dead or you wind up in jail. That kid was really, yes, Miss K. And I threw my arms around him. He said, I love you. He said, I love you. And this time I not only hugged him, but I gave him a big smack on the cheek. Within seconds, and it happened so fast, Mr. Y comes running in to the classroom, swears at this kid, and this kid loses it. Mother effing. I called him a nigger because they don't dare say that word. It was horrible. They take the kid, they drag him outside, and I thought, this is scandalous. That child sat there, he responded to love, and you come in, you swear at him, and what do you think he's going to do? This is what he's used to. All right? They threw him out, and I walked to the cat because I wanted to see that kid. And thank goodness Mrs. X was behind me. She said, why don't you sit here and rest? It was right in front of the front door. And I sat there until that child came. I said, come here. I said, that teacher was at fault. But you see, you're the one that's going to get in trouble. So try and be cool about it. And so the end of that, well, it's not the end of the story, but that was on a Thursday that I found out that Felix was thrown out of school. He probably swore at Mr. X. And on Friday, he wound up going to jail.
Okay. But
this is criminal. When I say there's a crime being committed against our kids, I don't mean, you know, punishable by legal imprisonment, but this kind of thing. And you're right. When you refer to it as a mini prison, that's just how it was. It was like a prison, and it's doing nothing to deal with our kids' anger except raising the temperature of their anger just a little bit higher.
We are sitting in the flesh. Now, I've been in the Lord now for a number of years, but if you poke at my flesh long enough, I will probably, some of that old stuff will probably come up.
Yes.
So this is what we have to a child is not a born-again Christian inside.
Amen.
They still have the flesh. Only thing that they have in them is what they have. And you keep poking, prodding, that's what you're going to get.
Yes, yes, Lord.
Yeah, we have got to learn. A teacher should be put in the position. I would be so ashamed to throw a kid out of class for cursing if I was his teacher. Because you know what? It's my job to give him a different vocabulary.
Amen.
And it has to come from the inside. I've got to teach him there's another word beside the MF word. There's another word beside the B word. You know, there are other words, but you have to put their mind. They need a different mindset, and they have to be trained. Their minds have to be trained. Just like they were trained to curse, they have to be trained not. Give them new words. I would take it a challenge if I had a kid who was cursing, which I did. I had a little boy that I had a private school to sixth grade, and a little boy that came to me, he was 4 years old. He came, he started pre-K. The only thing he knew was the F word and how to call a person a punk. That's all he knew.
Yes.
He didn't know his birthday. Well, that was a challenge for me. When I closed my school a year or so later, that kid was, he knew his name, he knew how to write his name, he knew his birthday, he knew how to love, he knew everything. But you have to give them something different.
Yes.
I don't know why a teacher wake up in the morning and just, what are you waking up for going to class if you're not going to cultivate or manage that child's mind? That's what you're there for. And they don't do it.
And they're not going to be, that's right, and they are not going to be motivated to do well in school if they don't see a reason to. That's why
that's
I said last week, my dream is, I mean, give me all these throwaway kids. And when I said, I don't care if one of them kills me, so be it. I'm called to lay down my life for them and to say to them, what will it take to make you want to come in school? You want to be a mechanic? Let's get a mechanic here. Whatever it takes. Mm-hmm. Felix, I said it last week, he wanted to be a cook. That was the way to get to him and then to show him, well, now, if you want to be a cook, then this is why you need an education. If they can see a reason for it, then they will be motivated, but they can't. But I don't have to deal with them swearing, you see, because the only reason they swear is because they're being hurt. Now, this incident was just went through me, and I think I understand it. Now, the other kids, I was just somebody sitting next to Felix. I didn't have much of a chance to get to know. They didn't know who I was. But when I walked in, I smiled at them. So one day when I walked in early, the kid up in front said, there she is, the greatest teacher in the world. Now, it was not about my teaching. And you know why?
Right.
Because I smiled. I smiled at that. It takes so little. And the reason I say that is because I remember an incident in the restroom at West Mech, and this kid came up to me and said, I'm so glad you're here. And I looked at her, you know, over 1,000 kids. I speak to so many kids, and I looked at her, and I didn't recognize. I said, sweetheart, I mean, have we ever talked? No. Well, then why are you so happy I'm here? And she said, because every time you see me, you smile at me. And
okay,
so I'm so glad you're here. A smile made that hoodlum kid up front say that I was a great teacher. I mean, that went through me. Now, interestingly, Mr. X read my poems. So this is what I witnessed. One day, he said to the kids up front, "Well, I'm doing this because I love you." And she said, "Well, I don't love you. I have yet to say to a kid, I love you, and they don't say, I love you too." And he
That's
said,
right.
"Well, I have enough love for the both of us. It goes to you and bounce back to me." I don't know if he did that for my benefit or whether he did it, you know, because maybe it was slight conviction. He tried to at least mouth the words. But these kids know. They know when you care. It takes
they know.
A, if you the know. Love of God is in your heart, you don't have to worry about what you say because it just comes out naturally. And you see them through the eyes of Christ, and you don't see throwaway kids. You see magnificent, magnificent children of God. As I said last week, God don't make junk. And they pick that up and take a stand against this when now they responded this way to Felix, which is my mind now. His story may end like Angela's. But you see, the only comfort we can get when we lose a child, like with the Sandy Hook, you know, they're trying to make their children's life be in vain. No, Angelo was not my child in that I gave birth to him. But I love that kid, and I still cry over that kid, and I am bound and determined that his death is not going
will
to be,
not be in vain.
In vain. And
no,
whatever it takes, if I have to crawl on all fours to get to where I have to get to make a difference, I just want my cry to be heard because it's a cry for these kids. And before we go, the big thing, then I learned that a 14-year-old little girl, mind you, who was going to Turning Point when I was there, was shot in the back by two boys and wound up in a park. And that's when I thought that child needed somebody to talk to. When the news people did a report on her, there was a woman there who said she was such a sweet child. She was living with her grandmother. Well, that kind of tells you something about her parents. And there was a lot going on inside her. Do you see the connection, Lois? That child,
yes.
Maybe, never. If I had been there or somebody else to talk, that child to talk to, it might have saved her life.
Her.
And
now,
that's
listen,
where it's at.
We have like 7 minutes, and I want to say this. We need to stop trying to lump all of our kids into the same basket because they're different people.
Yes.
With different needs. And love will serve all of it.
Amen.
You know, one thing that I always try to do when it comes to teaching kids, when I'm teaching them how to read, a lot of people have, this is the standard book for reading. Well, I try to teach a child to read something that will pique their interest. I don't care if it's a farmer's magazine.
Yes.
If that's what that kid is interested in, we're teaching to read. With comprehension, teach them to read whatever piques their interest.
That's right.
And then you've got a
That's
child
right.
captured, and you
Amen.
Have him for life. And we're going to do another show next week. It's going to be pertaining to nurturing our kids and helping our kids and stop, you know, whatever way we can do this to get as many people on board. That we can get on board, and I'm working on some logo that's taking part of your logo, Kay, and just adding something to it.
Okay.
That we're going to use the logo, and we're going to send this out to different people and try to get some finances going. But we're going to work this thing, and anyone interested,
yes.
you can send to Let's Talk Truth 333@gmail.com, and that's Let's. Without the apostrophe, LETS, Talk Truth 333@gmail.com. Send us your email. Let us know if you're interested in coming on board. Let us know if you think we're just full of it. However you feel
yes.
like talking, say it in an email. We can take it.
Yes, amen. amen.
We're going to love you right on. And I am so glad that we have had several, conversations about our children because these are voices that can't be heard on their own. Our
Amen.
Children cannot talk for themselves. They have to have something. Leaders, I want to remind you that the Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath.
Amen.
Which, you know, whatever is in a child, he's a child. and he's going to spout off at the mouth. You have to know how to handle that spouting and teach them something else. We have to teach a child, give them love. I promise you, if we give them love, that's what will come back, love.
Amen, and they're used to those words. That's what they hear. Now, Lloyd, the blessing of these radio shows, it gives me a chance to have people listen who never have the time. And I think the challenge that I'm going to present to these teachers who have heard of Turning Point, are you going to do something about it? Are you going to take, how do you feel about this? Are you going to continue to send our kids there when it may mean their very lives?
Right.
And where Felix is concerned, I don't know where that child is. So I'll do everything I know how to do to try and find out what happened to him.
Well,
so,
we're going to see if we can initiate some help in finding out where these children are. So we're bound to have success stories if we continue, the path. And I want to thank everybody for being here. For those of you in the studio, I know you're listening. The young people here in the studio with me, they say they enjoy listening because they're learning. They're learning, and that's what we need to do. You know, sometimes we just need to be quiet and listen so before we try to jump out and lead. The best leader has been the best follower. And so we just thank you, Kay, for, you know, putting that your expertise out there and your heart out there. And my heart is out there for these kids. And I just feel that all of our listeners, that when you call me and you're showing us that you have a heart for young people. And young people is from age zero to, you know, however, because I was a kid for a long time. But I just thank you guys for being here. I want to thank Courtney for being here in the studio. Thank Shannon for being in the studio. Paige, Jasmine, Kennedy, Rima. Thank you guys for being here in the studio. And the callers for being on the line. I pray that you have not only been blessed by what you heard, but I pray that you've been motivated to lend a hand and step out and do something. And you know, we can't think of everything. We don't know what it takes to make this thing come out, except we're being led by the Lord.
Amen.
So whatever you feel like you want to pitch in and do, please pitch in and do it. We would love you for it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't think that, you know, no help is too little.
That's
so
right.
Whatever it is you want to do, go ahead and do it. And we would just love to have you.
And, Lord, all they have to do is care. That's all. It doesn't take a degree in psych, nothing. It does just three little words, I love you. That's I love you. You know?
That's it.
And don't be intimidated by these kids because they're hungry for that. You know?
That's right. And because kids are, they're human. They're not animals. You know, they're not wild animals.
But if they're treated like that, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yes, that's all they're going to have. Well, we want everybody to tune in next week at 7:30 at the same time. We will put an outline out there before next week so you'll know, so you'll prepare your hearts for what we're going to talk about. And we'd love to have you interact, say something. You don't have to just hold your peace and be quiet. So we have 1 minute left, and I'm going to thank you, Kay. I will get with you tomorrow, and
we'll
go over this. And all of you that's on the line, thank you for being there. Thank you for everybody being in the studio. And I just want you to know that I am Lois Bullock, the host of Let's Talk Truth. And guess what, you guys? I am loving you with the heart of God. So we're going to say a beautiful and wonderful good night.
Amen.